Raw, 12:51 a.m.
On air and online, this is Raw News.
Thank you very much for having us, Professor Thrift.
Not at all.
Students have sort of experienced severe travel disruption at the start of term through to the roadworks that have been taking place all throughout Gibbet Hill. We'd like to know whether any measures were taken to try and prevent those works from carrying over into term time, because for students there's been a lot of disruption, especially with the road being closed and still buses going around the humanities block.
So the answer is that the main road spine, the one that's got the granite blocks being put in, should have been finished by just about the beginning of term. Some of the granite blocks got stuck in a ship on the way from China, and that's meant that the whole thing has been extended so far as that spine is concerned. Now, the point about this is that the money is available for these things in a set time period, and so we have to get it done fairly quickly. At the same time, pain from this is very apparent, and I apologise for that to all the students affected, as indeed to all the staff. At the same time, if we're ever going to have a campus where there is at least a degree of free flow of traffic, that's why we're doing all of these roadworks. But no one's trying to make out that one would wish this on anybody.
Whilst most students would probably tolerate the roadworks that are going on at the moment, which you say they're only temporary, the university is undertaking a major infrastructural expansion, for example, the National Automotive Research Centre, which you'll probably be able to see from your office.
It's not probable, it's definite.
And there are rumours of a humanities building, potentially. Mm-hmm. Do you maybe believe that continuous building projects risk spoiling the aesthetics of campus and sort of devouring the green spaces and the fields? And
so, here's a problem we face. Most students don't know how big the campus is. Most students never go beyond the sports pavilion or maybe to the bottom of the sports fields. But our campus goes on way beyond that. And I walk along the path there, or indeed run along the path there quite often. I don't see many students. So we have got a lot of green space. And in a sense, what we're doing is kind of building on one corner of it. Now, we will expand out as we get larger. It's inevitably so. That's the first point. I'm desperate for people to use the cycle path in particular. Mm. The second thing that's really important is that we are trying to make sure that as we do all this building, and I agree it is a lot of building, that we keep that aesthetic you're talking about. So I can tell you now, I was genuinely distressed by the cutting down of the trees up the top there by the roundabouts. What we're trying to work towards is a kind of really leafy campus with lots of trees, which has exactly the aesthetic that you're talking about. All sorts of things we need to do in order to achieve that, and we can only afford so much every year.
Departments and faculties might feel under increasing pressure to take on more and more undergraduate students, and it could be that next year's intake could well be almost double what it was 4 years ago. Does that not threaten to both make campus overcrowded, but also increase class sizes and then undermine the quality of the educational experience?
To which the answer is, if you look at the number of undergraduate students in the university, they are not increasing very much at all. We are not one of the English universities which is trying to increase student numbers. I think we're pretty comfortable, if I'm honest, with roughly the kind of student numbers we have at the moment. What's happening though, because we're now in a market system, is that some disciplines recruit very well, others less well, though generally speaking they all recruit pretty well. There are kind of swings and roundabouts. If some departments don't recruit, then we have to ask other departments if they are willing to recruit more, and they may or may not be. So we have to look at these kinds of things, and it's a kind of balancing act year on year, as you'd actually expect. But I can tell you there are no plans. You can go and look at the university strategy. There are no plans to increase substantially undergraduate numbers in the university. And I can't think of a reason why, in a sense, we would want to do that.
Last year, Maggie Chung, who was an economics master student, was killed whilst trying to cross the road from campus to Cannon Park. What is the university doing to help improve road safety both on campus and in the local area where students might have to walk across, particularly to, say, the Cannon Park Shopping Centre.
So one of the reasons for doing that is precisely so that people feel safer in crossing the road. We are unfortunate, if you like, as a university, in having a really main road right through the centre of campus. It's a kind of historical accident. We've never been able to get rid of it. But that's the first thing. Second thing is we do road safety training for people. That there is no doubt at all, especially for incoming international students. Part of it is simply concentrating on looking the other way on the road for a lot of people. I would slow all the traffic in the area way down to 20 miles an hour. I'd have 20 mile an hour limits through everywhere.
Professor Thomas Doherty, who is an outspoken critic of what he might call the privatisation of university, was suspended earlier in the year or last year because of comments he made against his previous head of department. And now he's been cleared of all charges and the university hasn't released a statement yet. But I was wondering if I could ask you for your comments on this, as well as a response to Dennis Leach, president of the University College Union at Warwick, who was commenting on how university would want to sort of protect and strengthen academic freedom. But in this case, it seemed to be threatened from obtrusive managerialism.
Let me be very clear. I can't say much at this point. And the reason for that is because we're trying to produce an agreed statement between the three parties. And basically, that's roughly speaking about what I can say about that. The one thing I can say more generally is this university is entirely in favour of academic freedom.
Our student listenership's mentioned to us how they feel a bit concerned by what they describe as the privatisation and marketisation of university.
Same question.
But on a more particular level, how can you... Could you potentially comment on what you could describe as maybe inequitous learning environment across various different departments?
So let's be really clear. Actually, our facilities are not at all bad.
Yes.
And I can take you around a whole series of departments. Absolutely brilliant facilities. There are, though, things about the facilities, teaching facilities in the university that we want to change. The first of those is that we want to make some of the lecture theatres better and more appropriate, which is why we're building a £20 million new teaching and learning building, which will go at next to basically cost cutting. And that'll be right at the centre of campus, and that will make a big difference in all sorts of ways, and hopefully it'll have some really interesting things in it apart from lecture theatre. So there's that to begin with. But then going on from that, of course, we have a big budget every year, which is devoted towards trying to keep facilities in place. And that's been made bigger over time rather than less. Then lastly, having said all that, even with that, I don't deny that there are parts of the university that we would prefer to be in a better state than perhaps they are. And of course, people always mention the Arts and Humanities building, but we can't do it all at once. We have to make the money to build these buildings. This is not something where it comes, you know, like a hand from heaven. These things actually have to be based on real hard work in order to get the money. The money very rarely nowadays comes from government. We have to make it ourselves, or in the case of something like the National Automotive Centre, from industry. So it's very important to understand that. There's no, I wish there were, kind of pot at the end of the rainbow that we could go and raid every now and then. If there were, you know, we'd build new buildings absolutely everywhere. The other important thing to know is that a lot of the buildings now are really coming to the end of their useful life, so we also have to have a replacement strategy in place. So, for example, we've knocked down Hurst because basically it was completely clapped out and it had to go. But also, we're going to build some more new halls of residence in order to replace Hurst. In fact, one of them will be on the Hurst site. But it's a kind of constant mill, if you know what I mean. It's the way it goes, you know. Some buildings get older, are less fit for purpose.
As research funding bodies, particularly in humanities, say, increasingly focus their attention on PhDs and maybe cut back on MA funding, can you see a situation maybe in which master's level study disappears from certain some departments and becomes normal for students to make a transition from their BA or their BSc straight to a PhD?
This university, like other universities, very concerned that the effect of 3 years of fees will be a deterrent to people taking masters. We're talking mainly about home EU students in terms of this, because basically if you look evidentially, then lots and lots of overseas students are coming and increasingly coming to do master's courses of one kind or another. So That is something we're genuinely concerned about. To the extent we can, we're trying to find funding to help with that. We had a scheme this last year, which has funded quite a lot of master's students, actually, and we're very proud of it, with six other universities. So, you know, we are doing things like that because we understand the difficulties that people face financially when it comes to doing master's courses. But in the end, this is going to have a national solution. Now, the green shoot in all of this is that actually every political party, I'm not quite sure about this because I don't know what UKIP's view on this is, Conservative, Lib Dems, Labour, all believe that something has to be done about funding for postgraduate master's students. And I don't quite know what it will be. It might be some kind of new loan scheme. It might be all kinds of things. I really and genuinely do not know. But it is something that at least politicians have recognised as something they have to do something about.
Warwick's been labelled one of the most expensive universities in the UK, I think sixth on one league table. Are there likely to be any money-saving measures in the pipeline for already cash-trapped students?
So, I mean, that doesn't mean that we're not aware that some students are trying to save money. Let's be very clear about that. And so just take Hall's of Residence fees. We've committed with the Students' Union very strongly to have a ladder of rents. But actually, if you look at our rents and the ladder of rents, we're actually, I think, below the average for... People just don't believe this. They kind of believe somehow or the other Warwick must be more expensive, and it simply is not the case. And we do have a genuine ladder. And the other thing they don't believe is that actually it's the most expensive halls of residence which are the most popular. But it's true.
This is Your Raw.